accession number 10461, reel 4.
Chilton, reel 4.
So we embarked in Arbiter in February 1945 and set out via the Mediterranean, which was now a friendly ocean or a friendly sea again, through the Suez Canal, and with a stop off in April at Colombo. At Colombo we were doing our jungle training. The aircrew were all disembarked from the ship and taken up into the jungle by the local army experts and told how to survive, and the various drills to do with if you had to bail out or abandon your aircraft in jungle territory so it would be alright. Re-embarked again, and with the ship went to Sydney, Australia, where we arrived in the 2nd of May, and the squadron was disembarked to the airfield behind Sydney, Schofields. The Far Eastern Fleet were heavily involved at this time with the fleet carriers, which were armoured ships. They were involved in kamikaze actions with the Japanese. The squadrons needed to be highly trained and highly worked up to be able to operate with the ship, to do the operations they were doing, and the men to know their emergency drills and fire drills and action stations in the defence of the ship. The captains were extremely sensitive about not changing over squadrons and not changing over personnel any more than was necessary, because this reflected on the absolutely essential readiness of the ship as a large fighting unit. So we were committed to staying in Australia for a few months until the casualty rate up in the islands became so high that we were sent up as a replacement. But once again, policy came into it. It was decided that no carrier at the time wanted to take on a complete squadron as a changeover for the reasons I've just given. And the decision then made by the staff in Sydney was that as replacement pilots and crews were required, our squadron would be broken up and sent up as replacement crews. In fact, this never actually happened, because the atom bomb was dropped and victory in the Pacific took place in August 1945.
What was the attitude of you and your brother officers towards the dropping of the air bombs at the time?
I think one of heartfelt relief. There was hardly any personnel where we were serving who were, after that many years of war, really believed in war as being an ultimate solution to anything. And it seemed that the way the Japanese were approaching fighting in the islands, it was just a question of if you were fortunate enough to survive. It wasn't through skill or anything else, with kamikaze raids taking place, and they seemed determined to have total disregard for their own lives, and of course this meant that a lot of casualties would be involved in any fighting with them. And no one was the least bit sorry to find that it was all over, and all over as cleanly and efficiently as we thought it was at the time, with no real understanding of what a nuclear bomb meant.
You've described the kind of welcome you got in America. Was it similar in Australia or different?
No, I'm afraid Australia wasn't the same as America, but for the very obvious reason that Australia was far more hard-pressed to act as a sort of forward base for war than America was. They didn't have the finances, they didn't have the backing or the wealth, and to have to host a lot of military personnel from other countries to fight a war, not on their own territory but on other people's territory, was proving to be quite a strain on the Australian economy. most Australia had taken a very bad knock with the fall of Singapore, and with their own services up in the Far East, there weren't that many Australian men around, and most of the in the Sydney area anyway were workers working on construction projects and working on the various jobs that had to be done. And so although there was no animosity, there certainly wasn't the sort of really 100% backing that one had experienced in America.